say to them, you can't give out my phone number.
But you're not going to sue. Who's going to sue?
Because they don't call you back again. They haven't called me.
All right, Steve. Thanks for the call.
It might be one of those backwards things where if you're going to do it, you have to make a specific request, probably fill out a form, just like you do to block a lot of junk mail. You probably have to say, I want to block my phone number.
Oh, yeah.
Otherwise, they're probably not
lying. It's a pain in the ass stuff. You got to fill out a form and you got to mail it out. I know, but nobody bothers to do that.
But the company gets to look as if, you know, we care if we're bothering you. We'll stop. You know, you just spend the time to fill out the proper paperwork and mail it to us. And, we'll pretend that we're not just throwing all this stuff into the trash.
It's America. This is how we make money.
Sell,
blitz with advertising. Especially people give in and buy your stuff.
We got to stop. This is the John and Ken Show. KFI Los Angeles, more stimulating talk radio.
KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. And it's the Phil Hendry Show here at 1-800-5201 KFI in Orange County, 5201 KFI in LA County. Reminder that we are very slow, but we are getting out the Jeffrey Dahmer fried chicken recipes. We have received probably over 100 pieces of mail since we first started talking about this on the air. The incredible thing is that we were able to get a hold of this. It was something that apparently Dahmer, pardon the expression, cooked up while he was in prison. And again, this is not to be read as an endorsement or any kind of a support for the kind of man or the kind of life that this individual led. We do not want you to think that we are Jeffrey Dahmer fans, and we've had a few calls and letters with regard to that. We simply want to pass along, other than Mike Crozier, who is an extraordinary fan of Jeff Dahmer. In fact, he's got an unofficial homepage for him. Look at jeffdahmer.com. Crozier's the webmaster. And in any event, we're going to have this Jeffrey Dahmer fried chicken recipe. We'll get it out to you this week. Those of you who have sent your self-addressed stamped envelope, please. That's a self-addressed stamped envelope. Otherwise, we simply can't do it. I'm sure you understand. Those of you who have sent that in, please, patience, and we'll probably have it to you hopefully by the end of this week. And don't forget our CD signing, which will be on Saturday. We are so very, very excited about that. We've got something else coming up around just a little bit before Christmas that we're going to tell you about here later in the program. A new book out called A Day in the Life of a Publicist by Guy Frazier. Movie stars and film stars and celebrities of all kinds need publicists. Now, I'm sure I'm not breaking any trade secret here when I tell you what a publicist does, but some of you simply for information's sake may not know. What a publicist does is they publicize events in an individual's career. People who need publicity, that would be celebrities, people in broadcasting, people in the film and entertainment field, need to have their names in the newspaper. They need to have their names publicized, and they hire publicists. And Mr. Frazier is one, and that's what a publicist does. In fact, why should I even just sit here run my mouth? I'll bring Guy on the line here. Guy, how are you this evening?
I'm good, Phil. Thank you very much for having me on your program, and I hope that I can explain for you what we do for a living, and I hope that it's something your audience can understand, and I certainly do hope that what we come away with today is a better understanding of what the publicist does.
And I was stumbling through the definition there.
No, I think you're still doing a pretty good job of explaining what we do, and it is to publicize the careers of people who are of notoriety, celebrities, people in film, television. I work with book authors as well. I work with fitness, so-called gurus. I work with the people who have been in the political field and now, of course, have branched out perhaps into political commentary. The broadcasters I work with are network level in this kind of thing. So it's all-encompassing, the people that we do work with.
And your job is to get their name in the newspaper, right?
What my book deals with is an individual day in my life of getting these people to their interviews at the television or newspaper or magazine interviews, getting them from one place to the next, point A to point B, with as little problem as possible, seeing to their needs, making sure that they are on schedule, making sure that the interviewers are well prepared for the interview.
Would that be like giving them bio information?
Giving them biographical information, yes. And also giving them a background concerning the career. What is coming up in their career? What might be on the horizon for them, film-wise or book-wise? And that is paramount, making sure that the interviewer is prepared. The toughest part of my job, perhaps more than anything else, is making sure that they are on schedule and that the primary focus of their day is to be the at the disposal of these people and not to be sidetracked. And that's probably the number one problem I have with the film stars, the movie actors, who are very sensitive people and require, I think, a kind of handling.
Yeah, I noticed in your book you talk about certain people as being tough to handle or temperamental.
Temperamental, sometimes there are people who, if they're a major motion picture star, they are used to the limelight, they're used to the pressure, and they react in a positive way. But sometimes if they're new to the limelight, new to this kind of publicity, it's difficult for them to separate out what is real and what is not, and it's difficult for them to understand what is important, what is not important. I have to make sure that they stay on focus. And in this book, I talk about a day in the life of a publicist. That is me, and what I had to go through with one particular star who is unnamed.
I notice you don't name who the person is.
I don't, because I feel that that anonymity should be respected. It would take the focus off of what we are trying to do with relation to that person, and that's to make sure their needs are taken care of, that the interview goes well, that the personal appearance, a grand opening of a film, a premiere of a film, goes well. But we can't lose sight of that. And
well, what are some of the things that might be a distraction for you when you are focusing an actor, a film star, whoever it is that you're doing the publicity for? What are the things that can be distracting?
Well, I think fans, of course, can really get in the way. It's the number one thing that throws us off and makes the film actor, the film star, the movie actor, who is a sensitive person, the oppressive nature sometimes of movie fans who want autographs. They want to meet and shake the hand of these people who are, of course, their idols, and I understand this. But the film star, the movie actor, deserves respect. They are sensitive people. They can be thrown off. And if you say something to them, seeing them moving, dining in a restaurant, for instance, asking them about their career, it can be very troubling to them.
Well, are you saying that so the fans are the number one impediment to a film actor or a movie star, as you say, or a celebrity moving through his day?
Unfortunately, I would say that that's the case, yeah.
Even though they are the people who are, they're the ones that put the money in the bank, right?
I like to think that the person who puts the money in the bank is the film star, the movie actor. Their great work and their art is paramount and is the reason why these films do well, because they are so outstanding in their performance. And
but isn't it true that it's the fan who puts the money in the bank?
I think you would get an argument from me on that. I think that...
So you believe, are we talking about, I guess it's the chicken, what came first, the chicken or the egg, but isn't it the fan who needs to be pleased, who needs to be, isn't not the fan who is the one that should be respected here? I mean, not at the expense of the celebrity.
No, I think you have to realize if you went to see a film, you go to see that film because of the star that is in the movie. And the fans should recognize this. And so when they see Brad Pitt or Harrison Ford or Sandra Bullock or Robin Williams or Robert De Niro or any of the great film stars, these movie actors, They're the reason why they go to these film, and therefore it is Robert De Niro, or it is Brad Pitt, or it's Meryl Streep, or it's Jeannie Garofalo, or any number of people who put the money in the bank. So the fans need to back away, give them space, make them feel secure in who they are and what do they do. And
well, are you against a fan coming up to as a publicist? And if you were ushering and escorting a celebrity around, are you against them coming up and asking for autographs, the fans?
I think they should limit their request to an autograph, if at all. I don't think that, for instance, if we stopped to have lunch and I was with a film star going from the studio to a magazine interview, which was not too long ago, and we stopped for some lunch at a restaurant, and a fan came up and wanted to get an autograph from them during a lunch, of course you have to turn that down. That's a period where there is some quiet and there is a moment of meditation, solace, and so they don't want
anybody coming up and asking them for an autograph at lunch.
No, and I don't think you should be utilizing, exercising what would be a common sense and common courtesy. You would ask him for an autograph at lunch. Don't bother these people. Remember, they are sensitive people as artists.
Well, if I were to stop and ask for somebody's autograph, a movie star's autograph, when's a good time?
Well, that's why we put on the shows, autograph shows. Sometimes they sign for money, sometimes they don't. If you stop them on the street, you ask for an autograph, that's one thing. But to ask them about their career, ask them about a movie that they're going to do, asking them about the film they're going to do or their latest project, it puts them off, I think, makes them feel a little insecure, because you never know from one moment to the next whether they're happy with their work, and they certainly don't want to be reminded of anything that they might have done that's not good. So
they'd rather not talk about their work at all?
They would rather not, perhaps, speak specifically about their work, no. And that is most important, I think, when we're dealing with a very sensitive individual, the film star, the movie actor, the pair people in the public eye.
Guy Fraser is my guest. He is a publicist, and his book is called A Day in the Life of a Publicist. Some of the things that being a publicist, being the guy who is sort of the front man for these celebrities in interviews, on TV shows, getting their name in the newspaper, the stuff that they have to run up against. Do you have any interesting anecdotes? I noticed one in a couple of the chapters of the book about a Planet Hollywood opening.
Yes, this was in Coconut Grove in Florida. There was the opening of Planet Hollywood there, and there were some major motion picture stars from film and from television who were there attending this opening, and the fans were behind the rope lines. And there was a woman who had been particularly persistent in trying to get an autograph from one of the celebrities that was coming down the rope line. She was a young lady, pregnant, and probably should not have been there in the heat. My information was that she'd been there for most of the day waiting for a autograph. And when this film star came down the rope line, I interceded and said to her, he cannot at this time sign the autograph. But if you wouldn't mind, you can stick around for after the opening, and perhaps we can do something. Of course, by that time, she had been taken to the hospital. She's overcome with heat. And
But she'd been there all day, huh?
She had been online all day, waiting for this person to come down, right? But we had to get the people in and to get them situated for the opening. And as she put on this act, I suppose, that she was faint and she was sick. I didn't believe it at the time. I knew that she was pregnant, but there wasn't anything I could do. There was not much I could do anyway.
What does it take for, if you know that somebody's been standing in line all day, just to get an autograph?
You know, there's a schedule you have to keep, and we're not there to give out the autographs. We're there for the people to see. You know, there is a difference. There for the people to see the celebrities, but not necessarily to give out the autographs. A sensitivity, again. Number one word in my dictionary when it comes to dealing with the film star, with the movie actor, is a sensitivity to what they do for a living and to help them get through their day. Look all you want, but don't approach, is my philosophy when it comes to these people.
And to look all you want, but don't approach.
Yes. Because that way they can see their favorite star. We can keep them on schedule. There is no lag time in the scheduled appointments, and the fan is satisfied.
Okay, so in other words, you're discouraging the autograph hound. Is that it?
Yes, I think that I'm trying to make myself clear that way. Autograph seekers are not welcome. No.
Is this a point blank for all the stars?
Well, that my job as a publicist is to make sure that I see that they are on schedule. I don't know what their wishes may or may not be, but I have to make sure that they are on schedule for an interview, for a premiere, for a party, for a film, for a visitor set, for a meeting with a producer. I have to make sure that they are on schedule. So it is me, primarily, who has discouraged this.
All right, so it's just so long as I know, we're not necessarily talking about Brad Pitt or Harrison Ford or Sandra Bullock or any of these people that you mentioned not wanting to sign autographs.
Many times they want to, but I discourage it. Because all it does is it can inflict a certain emotional trauma on these individuals if they're asked too many questions.
Are you saying that if they are stopped by a fan and asked for an autograph and asked questions about a movie, it's emotional trauma?
No, let me back up. I'm saying that it's a...
It messes with their sensitivity somehow?
It can create a mindset that is negative, yes. And so I don't want to see them bothered. I can't afford to have these people upset. So I would rather that these autograph hounds and these autograph seekers and people who want pictures, whatever the case may be, to stay back, to stay away from the celebrity, to stay away from the movie star, go to some of these signings, if you will. You can look, but don't touch, I suppose, is the best way. The film star, the movie actor, is a sensitive person. And in one day, as a publicist, I can see how the incessant haranguing and the bothersome nature of autograph seekers and some fans can upset an individual so that their mind is not on business. It is up to me to keep their mind on business. I don't like autograph seekers. I'm not, forgive me for the use of the word, I'm not a fan of autograph hounds. Keep away from the star, and then they can get on.
So in other words, they're allowed to look but don't touch is the way that you put it that way.
I think that's the best way. I really do.
So you discourage people. Now, what are these, you're talking about signings?
Well, for instance, James Wood was a signing at the comic book convention. There have been different things that the movie stars, if they wish, the film actor, the movie star, who will sign at, but I don't want to be involved in any of that, and I'd rather that the people don't come around. It's bothersome to me in the course of my day.
Guy Fraser is a publicist. His book's called A Day in the Life of the Publicist. So the autograph hound is the number one person who keeps you from your appointed rounds each day, huh?
From effectively moving the movie star, the film actor, from one interview to the next. If they're spotted, it can be a disaster.
Okay, 1-800-521-KFI in Orange County, 521-KFI in L.A. County. We're talking to a guy here about dealing with big-name stars, getting them around town, getting them publicity, getting them from point A to point B without having to deal with autograph hounds. Our number again, 1-800-521-KFI, Orange County, 521-KFI in L.A. County. Phil Hendry's show here on KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio here on the Phil Hendry Show. Let's go to Terry Ray Elmer now in the KFI News Center.
KFI News time is 7:16. Here's the news we're following tonight. In Washington, House prosecutors are getting ready for opening arguments tomorrow in President Clinton's impeachment trial. They sent the Senate all the public evidence in the case today. White House filed a brief that says there are no legal or constitutional grounds to remove the president from office. Monica Lewinsky, meantime, says no to the prosecutor's request for an interview. There are also reports that they asked Kathleen Willey for an interview, too. She says President Clinton hit on her. He denies it. Microsoft has started presenting its case at its antitrust trial in Washington. Federal government wrapped up its presentation today after almost 10 weeks. Trial started in late October. It's expected to last into March. Ventura County sheriff's officials say a man who allegedly shot and killed a worker at a Camarillo company today had been fired from the business about a month ago. The worker died. The man, Michael Kemchev, then turned the gun on himself. He is expected to survive. Really a strange story. A radioactive pacemaker mailed to L.A. by a hospital in Washington has been missing for 3 months. Nuclear Regulatory Commission says the thing was sent to St. Jude's Medical in Sylmar on September 15th, but never got there. KFI News, time is 7:17. KFI is the talk station that does live local news on the hour, on the half, and when it breaks. I'm Terry Raelmer in the KFI News Center.
And I'm Alan LeGreen in the KFI Traffic Center. Right now, the eastbound 10, right before the 605, it's a crash. That's sitting in the right lane. In the valley on the westbound 118, right at Glen Oaks, a stalled truck. It's one of those double sets of dirt haulers. It's blocking the off-ramp. No lights, no flares. Watch out for that. Jamboree on-ramp to the northbound 5 in the Tustin area. Two cars involved in the crash. CHP on the way. Stop by Albertson's Video Department, where all movie rentals are just 89 cents each Monday through Thursday, and pick up a delicious quick fix and idea for dinner. Albertsons, it's your store. KFI is the talk station with the most frequent traffic reports. I'm Alan LeGreen in the KFI Traffic Center.
Ralph's introduces 2 million reasons to use your Ralph's Club card. $2 million. Just shop with your Ralph's Club card every day in 99 for a chance to win $2 million in the new millennium. It's Ralph's Club Dream Stakes 2000. And the more you shop with Ralph's Club, the better your chances are of becoming a multimillionaire. So use your card today. Dream Stakes 2000. Only from Ralph's. First in Southern California.
Ralph's has the card that could make you $2 million richer. And this week, you'll save on USDA Select Blade Cutter 7-Bone Roast, only 79 cents a pound. Pepsi or Pepsi One in selected varieties, 6-packs, 12-ounce cans, 99 cents each plus CRV. Limit 4. And now Ralph's has adult extended day lift tickets to the new mountain high for just $28. Save $11. And kids ski free. Big mountain skiing with no mountain driving. Only from Ralph's. See store for details.
Henry helps you make sense of it all before you get to work.
Even assuming you think Bill Clinton ought to be convicted, if you know it's a loser, why would you put a country through this?
Handle.
1-8-4-9.
KFI AM 640.
More stimulating. Talk radio.
Get down, get down. Get down, get down.
Disturbance in the force.
Something racist?
then you are an asshole.
It's a big dude sandwich, and we all gotta take a bite. When does Dr. Pepper come in a can?
KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. Phil Henry Show here at 1-800-5201-KFI in Orange County, 5201-KFI in L.A. County. The book is called A Day in the Life of a Publicist. Guy Frazier is a longtime Hollywood publicist who's on the line with us talking about what it's like getting the big celebrities, film actors, movie stars, etc., television stars, from one appointment to the next, getting them to their appointed rounds in terms of publicity, and I guess selecting what is good publicity and what is bad publicity, right, Guy?
That still, nothing will be, I don't think, would be better put than the way you put it. What is the good publicity as opposed to negative? Negative publicity, for me, when I look at the sensitive nature of a Brad Pitt, for instance, is not coddling autograph seekers, but to do the good magazine interview or television interview as well.
All right, let's go to Playa del Rey on KFI AM 640. Hello.
Hi.
Yes.
I'd just like to say that I find your attitude elitist and appalling, because who makes these people? It's those people who coddle them, that give them their signatures that sucks to the theater, and who reads the magazine articles but that person who you offended because you rushed along, built some time into your schedule. I personally am a teacher, and I teach in the juvenile court county system. I teach felons. All day long, I am harassed and talked to and worked with and, you know, spit at with juvenile felons. I make a measly $30,000. These people make millions of dollars. I feel zero sympathy for them, because, I mean, they're making millions of dollars. They have, come on, a couple months out of the year, they do some interviews, they have this ooh-ooh, gaga life. I have no sympathy for them, and I find your attitude almost like the people are unimportant. You know, they're just people. I mean, this is who makes them their money.
Brad Pitt or Harrison Ford or Sandra Bullock, but let's speak of Tom Hanks, for instance, whose last film has made almost $200 million. These are people who obviously bring an enormous amount of money into the studios. And so, hello? Are you there?
I'm here.
Yeah, she's there.
Oh, okay.
I'm here.
Bring enormous amount of money into the studio. Brad Pitt is a very sensitive
man. Who brings the money into the studio? It's those people that are signing those autograph books, that are asking their autograph books to be signed.
They're the ones
putting the money in.
Yes.
They're the ones that the commercial people are trying to get to. They're the ones that the movies are trying to sell to.
Yes.
Not Brad Pitt. Brad Pitt does nothing for society. It's the slob that wants him to sign his autograph book that helps society. And this, Brad Pitt, some sort of god. My goodness, what kind of world is that? Where we give celebrities sort of prima donna status over regular human beings? I mean, he's got to put on his pants one leg at a time, just like me.
Have you worked with Brad Pitt, Guy?
Yes, he's a very sensitive young man who can be thrown off an awful lot.
He should not have gone into that profession.
Yeah.
He simply should not have gone into that profession.
If he's so sensitive
and he just simply loves to act, then go do some off-Broadway quiet little theater. But if you're telling me he doesn't love having all these girls goo-goo and gaga over them, I mean, it's his own fault.
The people need Brad Pitt. They need for his art. They need for his sensitivity on the screen.
Uh-huh.
And he gives it to them generously, and all that Brad wishes for is not to be bothered by these freeloaders who want something for nothing.
Did you say not to be bothered by these freeloaders?
You call autograph seekers freeloaders?
A lot of these autograph seekers.
Is pathetic. You think you're living in some kind of higher class when really, honestly, these are the good people of America that you're stepping all over and making your little publicist money on. As a publicist, you should know the number one thing is your customers, who you're selling your product to. And if you treat them like crap, I'll tell you one thing for sure, that message will get out. And no matter how many good magazine articles you do, when someone tells me that some movie star was snotty to an usher at a theater, I know that, and I keep that in mind. In fact, I find some movie stars so appalling, I simply won't go to the movies because I hear about their appalling lifestyle, and you just simply encourage that pathetic little sensitive, I made $1 billion today, so let me just treat everybody like trash.
But, ma'am, you, for instance, just to give you an example, you sound like one of these obsessed fans. I'm not an obsessed fan.
I'm a teacher, man. That's why I'm upset. I'm upset because I make $30,000 to work with criminal felons who look at Brad Pitt's life and think, I want that life. The only way I'm going to get it is drugs. And Brad Pitt just encourages it by treating them like they're nothing.
When you see a movie star, do you run after him?
No.
You run after him?
No.
I doubt that.
He means nothing. No, I'll tell you something,
sweetheart. You sound like you run after a movie star to have the autograph.
How pathetic that you would feel the need to turn that
on
me.
Why do you say that about her?
There's a certain kind of personality that runs after the film actor.
You're right. You're so right. I just run after these people and their pathetic lives where they can't even stay together in their own families and their own marriages. They have so much money coming out through years, and yet their personal lives are a mess.
But
why?
Because people like you
feed some sort of bizarre language to them that they are better than society. I'll tell you what, Sal, pal. I couldn't even tell you who Brad Pitt was.
Would you run after
If I saw his picture in a lineup, I wouldn't know who he was because I could care less.
You run after the Brad Pitt? You run after the Sandra Bullock?
No.
To be near them and to
I'll let you believe that I do run after them, but I simply don't. I could care less. I'm telling you, I'm the one who has to do with these kids.
You have a simple life. You chase after the
lifestyle. You know what? When Brad Pitt sleeps around and makes smoking cool and drinking cool on movies, Dusty takes the brunt of it. It is my poor little teenagers who try desperately to be like Leonardo DiCaprio or whoever your people are.
You are spending... Certainly, you're spending a lot of time talking about the lifestyle of the Brad Pitt. Do you chase after, for instance, a Leonardo DiCaprio?
Why don't you just keep saying that I chase after him? Because
I think she's indicated that she doesn't chase after.
But these traits that she exhibits to offer the sexual favor to the film actor.
I said that they portray people in films that are very, you know, very explicit with their sexual activities. And then who suffers it? It's my students who have no fathers at home because life is all about sex, drugs, and keeping me happy because I got all this money.
But haven't you said in so many words that you chase after the Leonardo DiCaprio? Have you said that for the sexual favor?
I said nothing.
No,
like
she's
that.
Not saying that.
But I said nothing like the,
you were.
Maybe you need to check your English.
Close to saying that you are upset with your life because you only make the $30,000 a year, and that Leonardo DiCaprio would somehow release something in you for the sexual favor.
You know what, sir? I was actually offered to be a professional opera singer. I could have made millions. Do you know what I chose to do instead?
Are you overweight?
How dare you ask such a question?
Because of the opera singers are all very large.
Oh.
They have the spread.
You are so appalling.
What do you mean the
opera singers have the large spread?
Because I might be fat or thin, that somehow means that I'm less of a human being. Like all these loser people who want to sign your advertisements.
You have a glandular problem of some kind.
Oh my God!
I'm saying,
what is it? The lady is.
She said she wants to be opera singer.
Are you saying things like in elementary school because you're fat, you're somehow not a part of society, or you're not good enough?
The opera singers tend to have the large spread, and so would be an obsessed kind of fan. We see the fat girls chase the Leonardo DiCaprio, and so
you know what the saddest part about you is? Is you're a one track kind of guy, which I suppose is which is why you do your job so well.
Well,
you just find one little area. And you go for it. You know what I find most sad?
I cannot have you near my clients is the point I'm trying to say. I can't
really
hurt
them. I don't know.
Pay for the two seats at a Brad Pitt movie? In other words, if you were to go to the Brad Pitt film...
Okay, here's the thing, pal. What you have just done is you have reverted to immature comments because you know that some part of this is true.
Yeah.
And so now you think by offending me, you're going to look better. What you just did is made yourself
look like a
10-year-old offending someone because you can't take constructive criticism. I tell you what I'm going to do right now.
That is wrong.
I'm going to hang up the phone, and I'm going to get off because I find this appalling.
You are so wrong. Do you like movie theater butter? Do you like movie theater butter?
I would just like to say to the KFI theater people that I'm appalled that you would have a guest like this.
Why? I had no idea, ma'am, that bringing on a publicist was going to create this. I didn't know, and I certainly had read your book, Mr. Frazier, that you find fans stalking fans, but I didn't think you found the average fan to be...
The average fan who chases for the sexual favor is one of many, such as this woman,
for religious purposes, I am still a virgin.
Okay.
I'm not chasing Brad Pitt for sex, baby. I got better things to take some loser guy.
In order for Brad Pitt to wish to be with you, you would have to perhaps shed 20 to 30 pounds or that kind of thing.
You know what? I'm going to go ahead and hang up. Okay. Thanks
same
so much for letting me get on the show.
Thank you, ma'am.
I'm just appalled you would have a guest like this.
Thank you very much for your call. Why this has turned into some sort of...
It's no surprise if you're a virgin if she says that she is at large.
I didn't know that we'd get into arguments with listeners over your book.
But it's essential to the core of the book, I think, Phil, that we speak of these obsessed kinds of fans.
Well, all right.
Number one is the fans need to back it down. I need to get the message out. These fans need to back off of the stars, of the film actor, the movie actor.
All right, 1-800-521-KFI, Orange County, 5201-KFI in L.A. County. Guy Frazier, publicist. His book is called A Day in the Life of the Publicist, on with the Phil Hendry Show here. KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio here on the Phil Hendry Show. Let's go to Terry Ray Elmer now in the KFI News Center.
200 dreams set sail for America that day in April. The Streisands were among them. And they are what make Titanic the Tony Award-winning Broadway musical phenomenon. Titanic, playing now through February 28th at the Amundsen Theater. Call 213-628-2772 and book your passage today. For even as the ship went down, somehow the dreams sail on.
Titanic is sponsored by the Mercedes-Benz dealers of Southern California.
To fill the world with terror, to bring you unforgettable suspense.
The rule of law is fundamental to individual liberty, that the rule of law triumphs over the rule or the will of the people, and that no leader, that no president or elected official, somebody who by virtue of election is vested with a lot of power, is above the law.
It's a trip.
I can't speak for every woman. I can only speak for myself. And you are really, really ridiculous.
Well, I can
get on the radio and speak about every single woman. Because you know what? I'm nothing like you.
Julie, I've answered that question. You cannot be so fearful. You must not have much confidence in your faith that you are this fearful that you can't answer. Maybe you need to talk to your minister and learn ways of approaching answering these questions if you don't feel confident in doing it.
KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio.
In a truly free world, you should be able to call up a website, any drug of your choosing, prescription, non-prescription, legal, illegal, and order it, and they'll send you a package from some far-off island, and then you can do whatever you want to yourself.
John and Ken, tomorrow at 3 on KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio.
R.C. Collins.
Look, Abdul, I need Heather to do a dive bomb on me, and that's all there is to it.
All right, I got
to
get rid of him.
Thanks. Dive bomb on his face.
Yeah, that's the general idea. Crozier said he's going as a hobo, right?
Yeah.
So, well, that's an alcoholic. Only we don't call them hobos anymore.
Well, why can't you call it a hobo?
I don't want to call it a hobo. I'm going as an alcoholic.
I got Dr. Pepper all over my crotch. Yeah, I got it all over my crotch. It's cold and wet. I need a towel.
Okay. Mom! Never mind, I found it. But that's what's going down now.
Who is Linda Lavin?
She was on Alice.
What do you mean, Linda Lavin, man? You go to bed with Linda Lavin.
She's on 3 o'clock on Channel 2. I come home. My pants get undone. Things happen.
Phil Hendry.
Why does Dr. Pepper come in a can?
Weeknights at 7 on KFI AM 640. More stimulating talk radio.
Okay, no.
KFI AM 640. More stimulating talk radio. The Phil Hendry Show. With me is Guy Frazier, author of the book A Day in the Life of a Publicist. Our number is 1-800-521-KFI in Orange County, 5201-KFI LA County. Mr. Frazier says the number one impediment to getting his movie actor, celebrity clients to and from interviews, etc., are the fans, the stalking, harassing fans. Correct, Mr. Frazier?
To be fair, Phil, I think there are some fans who deserve credit as being good people because they don't harass and they don't chase after the film actor, the movie star.
Okay, here's Westminster on KFI AM 640. Hello.
This man is crazy, and I don't know why he is talking like this. Is these famous people, they make millions and millions of dollars for these movies they do. They are artists, yes.
But
if they do not like fans, why are they not plumber? Why
are they sensitive people who are obviously need the space to be who they are?
Then go be plumber. Go be salesperson.
No, they don't have to be plumber.
Go sell cars. Then they won't have people chasing after them for their autograph.
The fan does not need the autograph.
He's nothing. There are many famous artists like Frank Sinatra, very famous people who are happy to give autographs because they know
What are they going to do with the autograph? You know, and
well, many of them collect them.
But that is not worth the mental well-being, you know, of the individual involved. It's not worth the sensitivity of a Brad Pitt, of a Leonardo DiCaprio. They need certainly to be good to their fans, but not to let them be too fun over them.
Okay, Hollywood on KFI AM 640. Hello.
Yes, I can appreciate your opinion, but I got to tell you, I think you're really out in left field on this. First of all, that makes your job more harder. Welcome to the real world, okay? The second thing is not all artists are like that, okay? A lot of them I've met have been very kind and willing,
They are kind and willing. It's my job to. They don't know sometimes what is best for them in the course of a day's schedule.
Oh yeah, they're not capable human beings. Please,
no,
come on. You know what? You're paying them.
Hold on. What were you going to say, Mr. Frazier?
They have a schedule to keep. They are not always aware of what schedule it is they must keep. It is up to me, obviously, to keep them on track.
Yes, I completely understand that, but, you know, it's not like they have, 16-hour days when they're running around doing these things.
I have a job to do. I don't like how these fans will swarm around to my clients, how they try to suck the creative energy off of my clients.
Well, then change your job, okay?
No,
you know what? They're not sucking anything. The only thing sucking is you right now.
I do my job well.
That's why I keep
these people off of these stars so that they don't suck off this creative energy.
But see, the one thing you're talking about is, like you mentioned Brad, okay? The one thing about him, and I'll tell you only one thing about it so that you know, and that's Los Feliz. Brad is a very kind guy. When people come up to him, he doesn't have a problem with that, okay?
Don't put on the air as if you know Brad Pitt.
Well, yes, as a matter of fact,
I do. Don't put on the air as you know Brad.
Pardon me?
You speak of him as if you know him like a friend would know a friend.
Well, I know him, but it's not like we're buds and see each other all the time,
well,
okay?
Well, you say, let me tell you about Brad. Then if you know that he does not like to be called Brad.
That's not true.
Well, that is true.
No, it's...
what does he want to be called?
Go back and forth and all this little kind of stuff, but I want to tell you my opinion, okay? You've had plenty of time to talk, and
this is part
of the job that comes with it. Just like if you're a police officer, you're going to have some danger. Excuse me for a second, okay?
Oh,
and that's fine, and that's good for you.
What does he want to be? If he doesn't want to be called Brad, what does he want to be called?
Pardon me? He prefers to be called Bradley, which is his
full name. Okay, why don't we get off of the Bradley thing, and let's just go to this. Let me give you my opinion. As I think you're way out in left field on this. There's a lot of these people that are very kind and don't mind that at all. Yes, there's an inappropriate time to come up to them, okay? I don't disagree with you. But if the fan goes up to them and asks them for an autograph, and they say, you know, excuse me, right now, I'm not... Okay, not a problem. The fan should walk away. But you know what? A lot of these people are approachable. So I don't know where you're really coming from on this. There's some of them that are not.
But my job is to keep them on schedule, even if they're approachable or not. You don't understand.
Well, yes, I don't want my film actor, all right?
I'm not going to argue with you as someone who is a grip on a set or whatever it is that you do.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to tell you what it is that I do. I keep them on track. I keep them on schedule.
Okay.
If these people want to give autographs, that's fine. But when I am with them, they don't give autographs.
Oh, my goodness.
They continue to do what they should do, and that is to stay on track each and every day to make sure that they are going to their interviews properly.
Fine.
I don't need some wannabes such as yourself chasing after them. Actors love the attention.
Want to be
the
what?
Paul Rubens, the Bob Denvers, people like
want
that.
Want to be what?
And so that is the answer that I would have for you. I don't need large women who wish this sexual favor. I carry pepper spray. If I have to use it, I will. Sometimes an autograph...
You could use it if you wanted to, okay? Look, a lot of these people are approachable, and there's no problem with that.
If I have to hit them with pepper spray, I can do that, too.
Oh, can't you do
it? If I want to hit them with mace, I can do that, too.
Oh, yeah, you do some mace, somebody's going to smack you around. If you got a job to do, just do your job.
You come running
okay? You let them decide if they want to go ahead and speak to somebody or not. Not your job.
Don't come running after my film actors.
After your film actors.
A face full of mace. Because I can tell you, they are people on the go, on the move.
Oh, yes. And nobody else is, right? Come on. Give me a break.
Let me tell you something. Things can get messy
if you want to insist on this kind of stalking.
Oh, yeah. Well, what's messy? Because I'll clean that mess right up for you, pal.
What's messy?
Okay? I'll tell you, if I approach somebody and they have a problem with that, hey, I walk away. It's not a big deal.
How would you like me to drop your ass?
Drop my ass where?
Right where you stand.
Really?
Leave you right where you are.
Try, sir.
A simple little from the pepper spray and you're hit the ground.
Pepper spray? I'll take that pepper spray and I'll forget it. Right.
You know, if you want Brad's autograph, just write in for it.
I don't want the Brad's autograph.
If you want Brad Pitt's autograph, you write in for it.
I don't want his autograph.
Well, you know what? Then why don't you leave him alone, you homosexual?
Homosexual?
Damn.
Well, this is what this man is about. You know, when you think to making fun of my accent, you lose respect too.
No.
Oh, yeah, you lose respect.
I don't need your respect.
Well,
I think you're way out in left field here, pal, and everybody that's going to call up is going to say the
all
same
right.
thing. They're listening on the
pretty
radio.
Pretty much people
going,
are saying that the fans should have access to the
fans don't need access to any of my film stars or my actors.
Talk about the homo.
My actors.
Come on, give me a break, dude.
You know, you wish to be Brad Pitt, you're not.
I do not wish to be Brad Pitt. I wish to be me.
Faggot.
I'm happy. Hey, well, you
did
know
you
a
hear
lot
that?
Of people take that personal.
Did you hear that?
Yes, I did.
Well, if he's making fun of my accent, I can make fun of him.
Well, that's okay. You say what you want. I don't take any offense to it, but there's a lot of people that would.
That's
so
true.
So I think you ought to choose your words a little bit better,
very,
okay?
Very true. Thanks for your call,
you
sir.
You got it.
Ask.
1-800-521-KFI, Orange County, 5201-KFI in L.A. County. I had no idea bringing you on would create a firestorm here with the listeners.
But they don't understand that my film stars have to be kept on schedule.
You say your film stars, your actors.
Yes, they are mine. From the time they get up in the morning to the time they go to their interviews to the studio, they belong to me and no one else.
All right, we'll be back here with Guy Frazier, who is a publicist. His book, A Day in the Life of a Publicist. And now with a look at traffic, here is Alan LaGreen in the KFI Traffic Center.
And right now on the southbound Harbor Freeway, right before Century Boulevard, a three-car crash, left lane and carpool lane still blocked. Still problems in the Newhall Pass area, northbound 5, right at the 14. A stalled vehicle was hit. It is blocking three lanes of the roadway. Southbound 405, right before Lakewood Boulevard, got a stalled vehicle. That's in the right lane. In the valley on the eastbound 134, right before Victory Boulevard near Griffith Park, we got a vehicle. It is stalled out. It's blocking the next to the fast lane. CHP is on the way. In Orange County, still some problems in Santa Ana, northbound 5 past 17th Street. A stalled vehicle that should be out of the way very shortly. It has been very slow in that location. And in Ontario, the Haven Avenue on-ramp to the eastbound 10, a two-car crash blocking one lane of the ramp. It's the last 3 days of Aaron Brothers' one-cent frame sale. Hundreds of selected frame styles. Just a penny when you buy any ready-made frame of equal or greater value. Call 1-888-5-DAY-FRAME for Aaron Brothers locations. KFI is the talk station with the most frequent traffic reports. Of Alan LaGreen in the KFI Traffic Center.
Our letter today asks a valuable question. Dear Albertsons, I'm tired of carrying cards and joining clubs only to spend about the same as I usually do. How can you help? With four words, Albertsons Bonus Buy Program. Forget clubs, cards, come-ons, and pricing gimmicks, because Albertsons takes special discounts we get from our suppliers and simply passes them directly along to you. No tricks, no trade-offs, just great bonus buy savings right on your receipt. This week's bonus buy savings feature whole boneless tri-tip roast, just $1.99 a pound, and fresh salmon fillets or USDA select boneless beef New York steaks, each only $3.99 a pound, plus a 12-pack of Pepsi, Pepsi One, Slice, or Mountain Dew, just $1.99 plus CRV. Prices good through January 19th. Some limit supply.
We're here to help you each and every day. At Albertsons, our goal is to hear you say,
it's my store.
Albertsons, it's your store.
Bill Handel is your political finger in the wind. Which way is it going to blow for Bill Clinton? Will the wind say?
I will continue to do all I can to reclaim the trust of the American people and to serve them well. I intend to seize those opportunities and meet those challenges with all the energy and ability and strength God has given me. That is simply all I can do, the work of the American people.
Or will they blow harder and tail? Bill Handel, puts the political polls in their proper perspective, makes sense of it all, and tells you like it is. The Bill Handel Show, mornings 5 to 9 on KFI AM 640. More stimulating talk radio. Listen now while it's still legal.
The only morning show that gives you all you need to know before you get to work.
Because when Handel is outlawed, only outlaws will have Handel.
Get him now
before
the police come.
Bill Handel, mornings 5 to 9 on KFI AM 640. Talk radio.
All aboard the night train.
Your ass goodbye.
Atlanta, Georgia. Raleigh, North Carolina.
Dude, you've got to be kidding me.
By AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. It's the Phil Henry Show here, and we've got Guy Fraser on the line, who's the author of a book called A Day in the Life of a Publicist. We have had an awful lot of rancor between you, Mr. Fraser, and the callers, and the reason being that you find the number one impediment to a lot of these actors being the fans.
You have to get a life. These fans must get something to do to chase my actors. To chase my film stars the way that they do. Leave my actors alone. Get life and be happy with yourself. But to chase after for the sexual favor of the DiCaprio, to chase after for the sexual favor of the Harrison Ford, or for to want the sexual favor of the Gloria Stewart even.
Gloria Stewart, she's 86.
But this is what I mean. You have to find something to do. Please get a life. Being a teacher is not all that bad. It's something to do.
All right, let's go to San Diego on KFI AM 640. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, ma'am. Hello?
Yes. I would just like to know, Guy, who, based on the way that you've been treating people tonight, who would want to buy your book?
But I've been confronted.
What?
People have confronted me. I'm not treating people badly.
But, yes, you are. You
Everyone.
Have been obnoxious to people that
oh,
have been...
Oh, no. No, no, I have to disagree. I think that I have been accused of being arrogant.
No.
Everyone wants to buy my book. They want to hear about...
Well, I certainly don't. The gentleman that mocked your accent,
yeah.
that was very, very...
rude.
No, it was very rude, but it was nothing compared to what you said to him about...
What did I do?
You called him a name.
You called... You broke into profanity.
I don't recall.
You
what
don't,
I do know...
You sound like Clinton now.
What I do know is that... Well, I don't know anything about politics, but what I do know is my actors are bothered by...
Oh, come on.
Email.
They are not your
my
actors. They are... Their
They're
own
mine.
People.
My Brad Pitt.
They have
my,
their own minds.
I am their
They
president.
Walk, they talk, they think.
And
they may have contracted
when,
you. They may
when
be one
I
of your
am
clients,
their publicist,
but
they are my
not
movie stars.
Your actors.
They are my
They are not
stars.
Your children. They are not your brother. They are not your sister. They are nothing.
And by the way, I have to say, I do not represent TV stars.
Why?
I would not want to get into that area. That's filth. I don't want the stink of it on me.
So you only represent
See,
film?
Being,
yes,
you're
I
being
don't.
Obnoxious again. You're,
no, but
you're,
I don't.
You're,
I'm
you're
sure that they
talking
understand.
About people that you have known nothing about.
I'm sure you understand. Why would I want the stink of television on my publicity?
You are
publicity?
Being obnoxious. Why in
I
the world are you talking to about
just,
people that like that?
I just
like
don't
that.
Want the stink of the David Duchovny. I don't want the stink of the Gillian Anderson on me. I want the fragrance of the Brad Pitt. And for to have the sexual favor, which I'm sure you wish, you can't
Sir, I'm approaching 50 years old. Brad Pitt could be my son.
If one more...
I don't need any sexual favors from Brad Pitt.
If one more of these fag hag jump on Liza Minnelli screaming, I love your mother, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill him.
I would like
to
hear one of these so-called actors say, I don't want to have communication with my fans.
Listen, you don't have to have sex with my actors. Leo Caprio
Nobody, who
would
said
not
anything
sleep
about
with you.
Sex with your actors?
All right, hold the line, please. I got to take a news break, okay, ma'am?
Yes.
And you, Mr. Frazier?
Certainly.
KFI Los Angeles, more stimulating talk radio.
We have gone from worst to first.
Sales have dropped. So that's that. And also, I told you when the summer ratings, the fall ratings came out for the radio market, for the Los Angeles radio market last Tuesday. And we have four, what are we call it the book. It's kind of like, sounds like the Bible, which it is in a way, because people die. People live and die, and they're eaten by locusts on the basis of these ratings. And so anyway, the fall book came out last Tuesday. Now, when the summer ratings came out, I told you I wouldn't lie to you. I mean, we came on the air and said that the station had tanked and we were doing terribly and we just sucked, to put it mildly. And that happened in the summer. Well, the fall ratings have come out and the station did very well, and this show is back to number one in its time slot in terms of talk shows. So we're beating the old station, we're beating the older station, and we're beating the dumbass station again at night. So this is the top-rated talk. I have to say, the top-rated English-language talk station, because I think KTNQ beat us. But all of the stations ahead of us at night are either music or Spanish. So I think we're like fifth or sixth in the big 25-54 demo. So that was very good. And like I said, it's an interesting thing when the numbers come out, people will tell you how good they're doing, which we are not shy about doing, but they will never tell you when they're in the tank. And I swore to God, I said, you know, if we ever recover our ratings in the fall book, we'll come back and mention it. And we have, so that's where that's at. Not that it means anything to you, but it means I can put off that suicide for the next 3 months. And we've got a job for a few more weeks, so that's great. And we just got back from vacation on Sunday night, last night. And we went to a place called, because if you didn't notice, I was off for the whole week last week. And we went to a place called the Hotelito. Oh, by the way, before I forget, there's a King of the Hill episode that I'm going to be in, along with Will Ferrell was one of the guest stars, and a few other great people. Who was the actress in the Airplane?
Julie Haggerty is also in it. So Will Ferrell, Julie Haggerty, and then I play Coach Sowers, and it's going to be the King of the Hill episode Tuesday night. Next, not this, not tomorrow night, but the 26th, 8:30 on Fox. Is that when it airs? 8:30 on Fox a week from tomorrow night, or is it 8? Is it 8?
Hi.
Phil Hendry.
At 8:30 on Fox, I think. So what we might do is not work that night and stay home and drink more of that Don Julio that I brought back from Mexico. As I was saying, we went to the Hotelito Desconocido. Now, I'm not kidding you about this place. I said it was a place that had no electricity, and I wasn't kidding you. As a matter of fact, you can go and take a look at their website if you want, www.hotelito.com. They have no electricity there. They've got a little bit of solar power that heats the water in the showers. And I think the solar power also heats up some of the food-making equipment. You know, I think they actually have an electric stove there, but it's all solar heat, or that's it. So they have no regular hydroelectric or nuclear energy. Everything is candlelight. And this is a place that we found in a magazine. So, you know, I told you that we went ahead and made the reservations, and they have things called palafitos. That's what it is. If you look at this place from the beach, it looks like a North Vietnamese prisoner of war camp without the barbed wire. It looks exactly like something out of Apocalypse Now. You have all these little houses on stilts that line along this lagoon with these watched, I don't know if they're guard towers or someplace you can look at the sharks or the whales or something, but these little towers, and it's all thatched huts, and it's all wood, and it's all very cool. It's very native, and it's just the thing that a gringo like me is going to look at and figure, hey, this reminds me a lot of Disneyland. So we walked into this place, and we registered, and we went in, and we sat down, and we started on our first of about 16 bottles of Don Julio. And this was a vacation to remember, because there is absolutely no phone, there is no television, there is no radio, there is no fax machine, they've got a computer somewhere back in the office where you, if you got to make an emergency phone call or you have to make an emergency fax, of course they will accommodate the gringos, because they know how hectic and crazy and completely out of our minds we are, and we can't get away from work, not for 5 seconds. And I was sitting on the beach with a couple from Providence, Rhode Island, very nice people. They got a beverage business, and this guy gets a message on the beach from one of the guys in the white, you know, one of the Mexican guys in a white suit, and he says, you got a message at the thing, and the guy thought somebody died, because the word we left was, do not call us unless someone has died or is near death. Otherwise, do not call. So sure enough, we're sitting there slugging down about 16 cervezas, and we're looking at the whales frolicking out there, and it's a gas. And here comes one of the white-suited Mexican guys, very nice kids that work there. They all live in the village in town. They come into the hotel every morning on a truck, and they all have names like Sergio and Jorge and... European tourists will speak to the help as if it's, there's, and I don't mean to say scum, but they call him boy. And I don't know what the Spanish word for boy is. Is it chico? But I heard that a lot. Hey, boy, bring me this, and boy, bring me that. I don't know, and maybe I'm trying to think, niño, that's little boy. But something like the niño, chico and the man, something. Hey, man, hey, whatever. But, I got to know these guys, and so I guess they thought that I was just like them, and they started treating me like crap, which by the end of the vacation, so the Mexican help is saying, hey, boy, what do you want for dinner? So these guys got a message, and what the guy's message was, we're out of syrup for the 7-Up. Right. No, what do you mean, vato? So, hey, vato, Julio y sangrita. Anyway, the guy gets a message. He's panicked. He thinks somebody died. He had to go up to the front. Gringito, that's it. Thanks, Mike. So... Gringito. Guy goes up. Turns out the beverage... he owns a beverage company with him and his wife in Providence. Turns out the shipment didn't come in, ain't going out till Monday. Some bullcrap message like that. He said he was ready to strangle. Since he couldn't strangle a guy that worked for him in Providence, Rhode Island, he had to strangle one of the receptionists up there in the lobby. He came back. He's like, his heart's racing. He says, God almighty, what'd they call me for that for? Joto? Oh, is that a dirty word in Spanish? And now we've just got another FCC fine. Joto, pronounced Joto, which means what, boy? Yeah, well, I heard a lot of that from some of the... And I want to be delicate. Joto? Joto is boy. And I'm hearing this from the Mexican tourists that were there. I'm hearing this from some of the Italians. I'm hearing this from a couple of these... Hey, boy, hey, give me another drink over here. I don't know. It's just I can't do it. They do. They let you strangle the receptionist there if somebody gives you a message like, hey, the shipment didn't come in. What do you want me to do, Vinny? What are you calling me here for? We gave a message to people in need. We said, here's the phone number. Do not call unless somebody is near death, okay? Because we got to go down there. There's a whole lot of tequila to be drunk. There's a lot of cervezas to be had. Don't bug me. And then finally on Thursday, Maria calls the kids anyway. I said, what's up with you? Oh, I don't know. I miss them. So she spent about a half hour. And it cost me only about $15 a minute. So that was great. So we go to this place. I'm going to tell you a little bit about it because it's a very interesting place. I should have called just to say hi. Yeah, that's it. Crozier calls and says, emergency, I'm calling to say hi. Hey, have you gone horseback riding yet? Speaking of that, I went horseback riding, and I'm not a horseback rider, but I thought it would be a very romantic, beautiful thing. So I took my wife, and we went out horseback riding with the Italians, the ones that were saying this Yoto stuff all the time. And I rubbed forgive me for being indelicate, but I rubbed two holes in my ass just riding for a half hour on this horse. Want to know why? Because I don't know how to ride a freaking horse. And the thing you're supposed to do with a horse, you got to get up in those stirrups, right? And right, get your rear end up off the thing. And I didn't do it. I was just sitting there relaxing, and the horse is looking back at me every 5 minutes going, will you maybe have a bowl of air? Hot is gay boy? What is going on? Alhambra, yes, sir.
Hi, Phil. How you doing?
Good. What is that?
Yeah, hoto doesn't mean boy. It means like a gay guy.
Oh, God. All right, well... Whatever they were saying, what would you say to a waiter?
I would say, señor.
Yeah, I would,
you know,
too.
You
and I would do that. But these people, I'm telling you, muchacho? No.
Yeah, muchacho means a guy. Like, hey, man.
Well, there was some slang, some verbiage they were using that was rather, I would say, condescending to these kids. But like I say, at the end of the, so hoto means gay boy.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what they were calling me as I was leaving.
Oh,
all right,
gosh.
Okay, I was getting in the car and they're going, hey, goodbye, Felipe, hoto, yay! See you later, jackass. We'll see you next year. Thank you, sir.
All right, no problem.
All right, you didn't help at all. So I, what the hell are you calling for? Did that clear it up? So I'm out there, and the thing is, it's a gorgeous place. It's unbelievable. And the place was started by an Italian jean designer, the guy that designed Charo jeans. Now, you don't know, and Jonah doesn't, because I got Bing and Crow in here, and these guys are 14 years old. But back in the 70s, you remember Charo jeans? What, were you playing in a pair of them or something? So Charo jeans was started by this Italian guy, and he made $85 billion, and he decided to go down there and build this little hotelito down in the middle of what is a wild bird preserve. It's a wild bird sanctuary. It's gorgeous. All kinds of birds and stuff. The Mexican government said, you know, I don't know about this. You ever read about these turtles that hatch their eggs and then they got to crawl to the beach? That's the place. They got this wild turtle preserve. Okay. And the hotel is so screwy that if the eggs hatch while you're staying there, you're expected to get your ass out of bed and go down and help the turtles go down in the water. It's part of the kick, yeah? So they bang on your door. Signori, turtles, hey, come on. So we go down there and the turtles are creeping down to the beach and we're hurrying them along. It's the little turtles are going down there because you don't want the pelicans to eat them or anything else. And this is your way of helping the environment. It's very cool. Huh? And up the beach is a biologist. There's a bunch of guys from the Mexican Institute of Biology. They live there, and they've been trying to educate the locals, don't eat these turtles. Because the people there, they live in a little village called Cruz de Loreto. And they're fisher people. That's what they do. And did I use a miner's hat to see? What, when I was inside the thing? Come on. So, where do you guys lay in all this hotelito and all this ho-ho stuff on me now? I can't even get where I'm at. I'm trying to go someplace, and I got these two nuts with the hoto, hoto, hey, hey. So, this was a beautiful thing. And there's these biologists who live down at the end of the beach, and they have tried to educate the local people. They're very simple people. They fish, and they, you know, very simple things. They fish, they, you know, make jewelry, things like that. Computer software, things like that. Very simple people. So what they do is they go down to the beach and they eat the turtles. They find the eggs, they find the turtles, they eat them and they kill them and they make soup out of them and steaks and they sell the shell and everything. And Marie and I are walking down the beach. There's a big-ass shell sitting, a big tortoise shell just sitting there, empty. And Maria says, oh, my God, what is that? I said, well, he probably beached himself and died. That's what I thought. Turns out one of the villagers came down and had himself some turtle meat for lunch. So that's why I asked one of the guys, the girl at the hotel, I said, well, how come I found a turtle shell? Yeah, I said, the people come down here and they kill the turtle. That's the whole thing. So the Mexican government has tried to educate them. Please don't, you know, I mean, if you need something to eat, man, catch some freaking shrimp. You guys can do that. Come on, you guys catch more damn shrimp. They're catching like kilos of shrimp every night. Every night they're catching tons of shrimp. They don't eat it. They sell it to the people in Guadalajara. They go down and eat my damn turtle. So, Yeah, eat some nachos, boys. I mean, hey, yo, Joto, have a nacho. So they kill the turtles and all that. So now what they're trying to do is educate the people. Don't kill the turtles. What we're trying to do is preserve these turtles. And this is what you do. And the eggs hatch, and you shoo them on down to the beach. And there's a big lagoon that separates these palafitos from the ocean. It's really, I'm going to tell you right now, and you know what? I'm giving up a place that I probably had to keep my mouth shut about, because now it's going to be flooded. Although it is a very acquired taste. If you think you're going to check into this place and you're going to have room service and televisions and phones and all, forget it, Jack. You're going to check in there. You're going to sit there. And if you're cold, tough. Because you get some more blankets, because these palafitos, they're open-air bamboo huts. They're very beautifully done with artwork. They're all hand-painted. They've got beautiful hand-painted tiles. They've got a single solar-powered fan in the ceiling. I can imagine the summertime in this place, it must be like Vietnam. Oh, man, because it's way down the coast. You get out of Puerto Vallarta, then you're driving 2 hours south, which, by the way, that was a real thrill and a half. The guy picks us up at the airport, and if he wasn't going to kill me with the 85 to 90 miles an hour on a two-lane highway, here comes the Alto checkpoint. Soldiers, hey, hey, Alto, Alto. There's these guys in khaki green, man. I guess it was the Mexican army or some good-looking banditos, and these guys are there with the full AK-47s. And I handed a $50 bill, and we got through. So what would have happened if I would have pulled a 50 out of my, you know, like... I don't know. You know, I shoot you, I get the rest. So we get down there with the big Alto checkpoint. I'm like, oh, my God, my heart's racing in my chest. You know, when you're a freaking gringo from up here and you see that whole third world thing going on, you're like... You see a bunch of... There's a thing about the look of the third world soldier. You know what I mean? The sleeves are rolled up. The gun is slung on the shoulders, kind of backwards. And they got their hands in their pocket, and they kind of saunter up to the car. You know, where you go? Where do you think we're going, man? No, I'm running guns down here. I got my wife and me, a Mexican driving the car. I'm in the back seat. Here's my ID, and would you look at that? A C note. How about that? I didn't know that was in there. A C note. I didn't have to bribe the... If you're bribing a guy you don't need to bribe, big mistake. I mean, the cops, that's one thing. I don't think the Army... So these weren't federales. These were full-on Mexican Army. And they had choppers. It wasn't bad. I mean, one day I saw a Mexican Army chopper. Huh? Well, they got some bandito crap going on down there. They got, the Indians are in an uprising. Way south. Oh, yeah. Way south Mexico. And if you drive at night down there... So the problem is this, from what I found out. Drive at night, the banditos lay big logs and stuff across the road. They'll stop your car, and they'll take your car. Forget about your wallet, Jack. You're walking. Goodbye. Enjoy Mexico. Mm-hmm. Adios, nice car. And anyway, so we got through that, and that was great. So they pick you up at the airport, they take you on down to the thing, and they, hey, welcome to the hotelito, I should say, and Mr. and Mrs. Henry, blah, 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 blah. Sign it, can we have a credit card? Yeah, here's my American Express. Lay that on him, go into the thing, and it was about 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the evening, and the food was outstanding. It was all native seafood, basically. You're talking camarones, you're talking the lobster, pollo, huh? Camarones? Ain't that shrimp? Yeah, that's shrimp. Right, that's the one word. I speak restaurant Spanish now. I speak very good restaurant Spanish. Don Julio y sangrita dos. Dos mas. Huh? Hey, dos spaghetti. Man, I ain't eating this. And a lot of these folks down there, now, I don't know what they thought they were getting into. There were, at any given time, no more than 15 people in the entire compound is what it looked like. I mean, I felt like if you like Jonestown, you'll love this place. Now, I'm kidding around. It looks, it's beautiful. It really is. But it's in the jungle, you know, and it's all, huh? It's on the West Coast. It's right on the Pacific Ocean. The waves, if you could body surf, if I could body surf, I'd probably still die. But you couldn't go in the water because the riptide is so bad it'll kill you. But the waves, like, I swear to God, it was living like the North Shore in Hawaii. I mean, it was there's a lot of tube action on the waves. They were about 10 foot at one point in the late afternoon. Unbelievable. Beautiful. And but you couldn't go in. So you could swim in this lagoon that separated these palafitos, these places where you stay, from the beach. So I think it was day 4. And I looked at my bill. When we checked out, I was going through all of each day, you know. And I'm looking at it. Here it is. A Wednesday was the day. 15 shots of Don Julio. That's $6 a shot. What do you mean, is that it? 15, and then there's cervezas on top of that? I'm talking about 15 shooters of Don Julio tequila? What do you think's going to happen? No, in one day. In one freaking afternoon. I was looking through the stuff, and each day it shows you what you bought. And each day it shows you, you know, the first day was okay. We had about three or four cervezas. Maria had a margarita, you know, like that. And then the next day, a couple of bottles of wine. And here comes Wednesday. 15, I don't know what happened on that day. I got 15 shots of Don Julio. Well, I'm playing pool in this beautiful restaurant bar that they have with these two Irish guys that I met. There's a family there from Dublin, really nice people. And these two young guys, they're 23, going, oh, the whole thing is crap over there, you know, hey. These two, like I'm in the middle of a, I don't know, Walter Brennan, Darby O'Gill and the Little People in the middle of Mexico. But anyway, I'm shooting pool with these guys. Suddenly, one of these guys, one of the Mexican guys comes running and says, hey, Felipe, Mr. Henry, your wife is jumping the lagoon. I said, what? He said, excuse me, gentlemen, I think my wife has just jumped in the lagoon. So I run out to the end of the dock. Maria is breaststroking across this lagoon, and I'm telling you, it's about a quarter of a mile across. And I can hear her, she's gutting it out like she's in the Olympics. I can hear the far end going, I can hear my wife, and one of the Mexican guys has jumped in a rowboat, and he's rowing after her. I said, my wife's in the lagoon, and the guy said, yeah, senor, I got it under control. This guy, huh? Oh, yeah, you are allowed, but it's a long way to swim. And she, like I said, I mean, I'm not making any comments here. 15 shots of Don Julio, and she's, hey, you know, going across this lagoon. Oh, do we got to take a break? Well, I'll let you know whether she lived or died coming back. So there were Italians, there were the Irish, there were the Mexicans, and me. Felipe. Coming back, we'll also tell you about the very famous Hollywood film star who showed up there at the Hotelito on Friday. And I'll give you a hint. No, it wouldn't be much of a hint. Okay, I'll just, it's a big guy. And it's a guy we like on this show. Very great actor. We'll tell you all about it. And my wife, whether she actually made it back from the other side of that lagoon. In a moment, on KFI AM 640. Oh, the Lucky Charms guy was with us on vacation, too. That was one of the guys I was shooting pool with. So anyway, KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. Terry Ray Elmer in the KFI News Center.
KFI News time is 7:18. One man is in critical condition. A 12-year-old girl has minor injuries after the guy's car crashed into an apartment complex in...
Never too hot to handle.
I want to be able to say to my children, hey, if you do wrong, this is what's going to happen to you.
I want you to make sure they're in front of the television for the next 6 months watching Monica talk about where Bill Clinton put his schmance on her body.
It tastes like to mucky up the water.
Linda
handles head mucky muck.
Mornings 5 to 9, KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. Phil Hendry.
KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. It's the Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-5201-KFI in Orange County, 5201-KFI in L.A. County. By the way, as long as we were mentioning the numbers, the ratings came out for the fall book, Bill Handel is God, man. He just killed. He is slashing and burning his way to the very top. Good for you, Bill. Way to do it. Now quit eating. All right, 1-800-5201-KFI, 5201-KFI. So there we are at the Hotelito Desconocido. What does that mean? I don't know. I think it has something to do with American Express, please. No, it means hidden hotel, hidden valley, ranch dressing, hidden hotel, small hotel, place that you can't get to. Place in the jungle, something like that. North Vietnamese compound, look-alike. Now, I'm being very honest when I say it's a great place, beautiful place. So, where did I leave off? So on that Wednesday, that fateful Wednesday... Now you're partying with everybody because you're only staying in a hotel with 15 people. The top maximum occupancy of this little place where there's these little huts on the beach is 70 people. That's as many as they can accommodate. And so we probably only had, there were 15 people all week, 15 to 20 all week. So we got to know everybody, and everyone got to know us, and everybody is chummy, and everyone's telling me what's going on with this and that, and, you know, the Irish family was saying, oh, we first checked in, we thought this sucked, but you know what, this ain't bad, you know, and they were really digging it, and they kind of got into it. Well, so now here comes Wednesday, and I'm shooting pool with some of the kitchen help or what, and I see, you know, Senor Henry, Senor Henry, your wife, you jumped in the lagoon, she said, hey, come on, yeah, I'm not kidding you, would I put you on, come on. So I run out there, and there's Maria, swimming across the lagoon. So this guy's rowing after her. And I'm standing there with the Irish family and the two new people from Italy, and we're all standing. I said, my wife's, you know, my wife's got guts. I mean, Maria's, no, I wasn't really embarrassed. I said, hey, this is the way she parties, you know. She just loves to, you know, do weird stuff. So we're waiting, and we're waiting, and we're waiting. And now it's getting dark. The sun has set. So now one of the guys from security is there, and they got their little,
Roger, I got it. I'm tracking her.
Yeah, there's a hodo here waiting for his wife. Roger. And the guy's there with a walkie. I said, Senora, what's going on? He says, yeah, they've got her. You know, she's coming back now. Okay, great. I thought they pulled her out of the water and put her in the boat. Not that she needed it, and it wasn't that fun. She's a good swimmer. There's nothing wrong. Yeah, they put a spear gun to her head. Get in now! So we're waiting, and we're waiting, and we're waiting. I said, are they coming back? Yeah, they're tracking her. They got her. I said, well, I don't know what he means. They're tracking her. I don't know what you mean. And I'm waiting. I'm talking business with these people from Rhode Island. I'm rapping to the Irish people, the Italians. I'm just going, buongiorno, for the 85th millionth time. I'm throwing back another shot. You know, now I got the bottle and the shot glass, and I'm standing on the dock just going, come on, baby, you can do it. Well, I'm waiting, if suddenly she ain't there, and now I'm getting worried because I said, is she in the boat? He said, no, she's not. I said, the guy didn't pick her up? He said, no. Well, where the hell is she? He said, well, they saw her. She was coming back. Well, for Christ's, excuse my language, sake, what, are they towing her or something? What, they got a rope around her neck and they're pulling her back? So, where is she? I don't know. It's dark. I don't know. There's no lights. There's just torchlight. I'm like in the middle of a Polynesian village. So, I'm going, Maria! I'm yelling into the night. You know, I'm going, Maria! And all I hear is, and now I'm thinking, oh, my God. So now, like I saw in so many movies, I have to do something to be heroic, okay? Because, well, come on, I saw Titanic. So I start throwing stuff out of my pocket, you know, because I got sunglasses, suntan lotion, some pesos, another bottle of Don Julio, just throwing it out of there. And I wade into the water. I'm going, Maria! 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 I'm wading out into the water. I'm about chest deep, and I hear, I'm right here. She's behind me on the shore. And she goes, I'm over here. What the hell is your problem? I said, well, what are you doing? And she's beached herself. She's just laying exhausted, just... I go, are you okay? Yeah, fine, honey. There's nothing wrong. And I drag her out of the water like it's an episode of Jaws. You remember how they dragged that kid out of the water in Jaws with his 2 feet dragging? That's me dragging my wife out of the water. And meanwhile, the Irish couple is behind me. They're going, give her air. Get some blankets. Get some, you know, get another bottle of Don Julio. Yeah, I got in the water just in time. I got into the water while she's on the shore. That's how courageous I was. I waded into that water, man. She's in the restaurant on her third course. Jeez. So I got to pick her up, and I walk her back. She's so exhausted, she can hardly walk. I said, why did you do that? She says, I can swim that. That's okay. I mean, you know, I'm tired, but what she did is she swam it like you would swim 2 lengths of a pool. She swam to the other side, touched the beach, turned around, and swam back. And by the time I'm dragging her out of the water, about 3 hours went by. It's the longest time it took anybody to... And I'm telling you, I was freaked. So I picked her up, I dragged her, I walked her back to the room, put her to bed, and I'm sitting there just, oh, I don't know, man, you know, yeah, I got to go back and get another shot of Don Julio, which is exactly what I did. I go back into the restaurant with my wife, you know, everybody thinks she's dead, and I'm like, hey, how you guys doing? You okay? All right, I'm going after you. Splash. So I go back into the restaurant, and the people are now all huddled together, and this is the worst thing, when they're all huddled together talking about that weird-ass American couple. What is up with them? And they're all... And then you walk in, and the conversation stops, and I walk up to the bar, and I'm, yeah, she's my wife's loco, what can I tell you? And they're all... And the manager, I found out later, had asked, how's that American? Because he asks the help, you know, how's everything? What's that American guy? Oh, they're a lot of fun. They're great. They're great fun. Yeah, great fun. Yeah, they're real great fun. Had 15 guys from security looking for my wife in the middle of a lagoon, in the middle of an Apocalypse Now swamp. The Irish couple saying, can't hold their liquor. That's the problem with the Yanks. So, but you know what? She popped out of bed the next morning, man. She walked into the restaurant, and the first thing she said was, anybody for a swim? And they're all like, ha 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 ha. And I thought we were going to get thrown out. So let that be a lesson. Any of you thinking of going down to the Hotelito, man, your wife can almost drown. They won't throw you out. I love that. All right. We got the movie star story coming up here on the Phil Henry Show on KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio, I hope. Oh, you mean it's not? Here's Terry Ray Elmer in the KFI News Center.
Thanks, Phil. A Palos Verdes woman is behind bars accused of plotting to kill her ex-husband. Sheriff's Deputy Steve Siaka says Valentina Beer offered a friend $25,000 and a plane ticket to Russia if he kills 68-year-old Dr. Robert Beer.
The woman apparently did not want to know how her husband would be killed. However, She allegedly stated that she wanted his head cut off.
The couple's mutual friend told the doctor what his wife was up to, and both men went to the police. Mrs. Beer was arrested and is being held on $500,000. As to why, detectives think it was for money.
Her husband recently retired and plans on returning to court to petition for a reduction in both alimony and child support.
Mrs. Beer had been divorced from her husband for 8 years. He had a $1 million trust.
640, more stimulating talk radio.
Can't buy AM 640. Don Elliott does it again. Can't buy AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. Phil Henry show. So anyway, I looked at the hotel bill after we got out of there, and the woman at the reception desk said, I looked at the bill as I got out, and the woman said, "We'll get it." This is KFI, more stimulating talk radio, where my 360 is doing 180s. So anyway, she looked at the bill and she said,
"I've never seen anything like it. I mean, it was so huge."
So we, where was I? We're down at the hotel, and my wife gets out of the water. Everything's fine. She's not drowning. She's fine. There was never any real risk. And again, I want to make this very clear. If you think I'm not bagging on this place, it was beautiful, beautiful service, outstanding. Food, unbelievable. The surroundings, gorgeous. Went horseback riding one morning, I told you, rubbed my rear end raw. But other than that, nothing went wrong. And, you know, you just partied on a beach all day long. So now the word comes down on, I'd say, Thursday. We got to know, there's one kid working down there. She's an American. She comes from Georgia. And so she spoke a lot of English, so obviously we could talk with her. And my wife speaks Spanish, so somehow we made ourselves known and got the communication flowed very beautifully. And she says, "Well, tomorrow, big Hollywood movie star, you know, some kind of a big deal." And the other guys, like Jorge and Sergio, all these guys coming. "You hear, Mr. Henry? Yeah, big movie star coming tomorrow." "Well, what do you mean there's a big movie star?" "Well, he wired ahead and he wants a room service exclusively in his Palafito hut. He doesn't want to come to the restaurant. He wants to have a Jeep at his disposal. Blah, 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 blah." Now, these huts, by the way, if you want, they give you room service between 8 and 10 in the morning. You can raise a red flag at 8 and 10 in the morning. You can raise a red flag and they'll come over with coffee and donuts or something. Now, I did it one morning. They came over with coffee and two cookies. And I'm going, "Well, this ain't going to work because I got to eat a lot more than that." And just as an aside, when this movie star finally checked in, that red flag was going up and down and up and down all the time, going up, and these guys keep running back and forth. And I thought maybe she had the Brazilian girlfriend, had him tied to that thing. It was like, boing, 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 boing. "Do it again, baby. Do it again. Come on." That's what these two Irish kids were saying. "You know what? She probably has this Johnson tied to the thing, going, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah." That's what's going on. It's crap. Don't you love the way the Irish and the British talk? Everything is, it's crap. You don't read that article, Phil. It's crap article. It's crap. "Oh, I can tell you, last night, I drank the cervezas. I was wrecked. You should have seen the state of me. It's crap." So the big word comes down, big movie star. Now, there's only 15 of us in the hotel, and then along with the movie star came a film crew from they're very nice people, Mary Claire Magazine. I don't know, I've never read it, but my wife had heard of it. They brought in a bunch of skinny British models, and they were all going to do some photo shoots on the beach and all this stuff. You should have seen these guys coming up from the boat across the lagoon. Here comes 15 Italian photographers wearing sweaters, and it's about 85 degrees. And here come all these models, and, you know, they're going to check in at their little huts on the beach and do their thing. But the word comes down, he says, "Oh, a big movie star." I said, "Oh, really?" So nobody knew. I'm trying to guess who. "Well, he doesn't want to be in a restaurant. He doesn't want to be around anybody. He wants to have this and that and everything." And I'm saying, you know what? The man's entitled to his privacy, but I don't know what the hell he's worried about. There's only 15 people here. You guessed it, Marlon Brando. No. When he tried to get in the boat, and it was like, just didn't quite make it, man. I mean, they were taken in water. But I will tell you, he was in a movie with Marlon. No, anyway, so we find out on Friday, it's Val Kilmer. I said, "Val Kilmer, I'm a very big fan of Val Kilmer. I know that we're big fans of his on the show here, and that's terrific. Val Kilmer..." I said, "What's the problem with the privacy thing? I mean, it could have been Robert De Niro. I mean, what am I going to do, bug the guy at breakfast? There's 15 people eating breakfast. Are y'all going to bug him? Guy's going to sit there. If the guy wants to say something, that's great." I didn't quite understand the whole thing. So finally, we go across the beach, I guess, on Saturday, and down the beach a ways, and there was a girl. She was kind of walking back and forth over to the bar, to the beach bar, and going over to the pool. And it looked like she was checking stuff out, and somebody said, "Well, that's the girlfriend." "Oh, okay."
Kenny, we were acting like geeks, but whatever. I was, hey, you know what, man? I don't make enough money to be starstruck. I dig it. So she goes back, and I see this guy laying on the beach. There's the two of them laying on the beach about, I'd say, 100 yards away. She says, well, there he is down there. He's laying on the beach. Oh, wow. Now, I'm the guy that's making an effort not to sound like a jackball so that when Kilmer and his girlfriend finally get up and start walking toward the pathway that leads to the boats, I'm so... So how about those Jets, huh? You know, I got to tell you, those Broncos and all everybody else, the Irish, everybody... There goes Val Kilmer! Hey, those Jets, you guys have the food here is fantastic. Hey, Val Kilmer! Even if they all did bug him, it would only take 10 minutes. There's only five of us. That's right. There's only 10 of us there, and we all bug him. It's going to take about 5 minutes to get to the autographs. That's the end of that, and then you can go back to eating your meal. So here comes Val Kilmer walking up the beach. One of the Irish kids goes, how's your Johnson? Going up and down. No, he didn't. I'm just kidding. These two kids from Ireland, good-looking guys, they do modeling back in Ireland. And he says, yeah, I made 2,000 quid, you know, did a Heineken shoot down the coast in Limerick, you know. Huh? Yeah, it's about $5. So, 2,000 quid. I go, what the hell is a quid? It's a pound. I say, okay, great. Well, you speak freaking English, you Irish Mick. So, no, the nice guy. And but anyway, he was making a joke about the flag going up and down. She got a tie to us, Johnson, up and down, up and down. So here comes Val Kilmer. He's walking down the beach, and I'm, you know, I say, you know what? Don't bug the guy. Everybody's ogling this cat. All these British models are staring at him. That Val Kilmer. Oh my God, I love him so much. Well, here he comes. He goes down a pathway, and I said to Marie, I go, oh my God, this is great. She says, what? He's fatter than me. Can you look at the gut on old Val? And I swear to God, and I say this with all due respect, Val, because I'm a great fan. His gut was hanging out. Now, did he put weight on for that movie or whatever? What's that movie called? I Can't See Squat or My Eyes Don't Work or what is the name of that flick that he's in? My eyeballs are gone. My eyes are shot. I need glasses. Whatever the hell that thing is. He's walking down with a gut hanging on him, man. Like, he looked like three of me, I swear. And I'm not putting him down. I felt good. Ow, I hit another wall. That's the name of the new Val Kilmer movie. Go see it now. My nose is bleeding. Ow, I hit another wall. I can't see crap, you asshole. The new Val Kilmer movie. It starts Friday. And I can imagine, because the movie didn't get... Well, it got a good review in the L.A. Times, but it got kind of ripped in Entertainment Weekly. And I think it got ripped in a lot of places. And I can imagine he did a whole bunch of interviews, and then he sees the reviews for the movie, which all suck, and he's like, I'm out of here, I'm gone, and I don't even want to see hide nor hair of another human being. I don't blame the guy at all. So he's down there, he's trying to chill, and I don't know when he blimped up, but as he's walking down to the little boats to go back to the Palafitos, I look, and I can see the gut going out on him. I go, this is great, he's fatter than me now. But I really, honest to God, I still, what is it with these cats? And again, they're entitled to their privacy. But when you go down to a joint like that, where there's 10 people tops, 15 people tops, what do you got to play it like Greta Garbo for, man, and hang in your room? It's got to suck. I mean, if you're sitting in there all day long, and maybe you got a couple of minutes on the beach, and you got to walk back, and somebody got in a boat with him, said his eyeballs were cast down, and he didn't want to look at anybody and everything. You know what I'm saying? So, who's really, seriously, who's going to bug you in a place like that? I'm not going to. I can honestly say, if I see, like, Al Pacino, who I think is terrific, I'm not going to start tapping him on the shoulder. Hey, Mr. Pacino, what about... You know in Godfather Part 2, did you... You know, get out of here. Oh, you saw the people that the movie was based on? Oh, yeah, and that guy was huge? Okay, great. Well, now we know why the guy... That's a true story, that I Can't See Crap movie? It's based on a true story, and the guy was about 15 acres across? Really? So he had to blimp out for the movie. All right. But I don't know what it is, famous people, I don't know what am I talking about movie actors or just famous people in general who have to call ahead and make these plans and make these reservations and make all of these arrangements lest anybody bug them for an autograph? I can understand if you're in the States and you're walking down a street in West L.A. or you're walking through the Manhattan and there's going to be a lot of people acting like jackballs and bugging you, okay? That's one thing. But do you have to play it like, you know, cutesy poo when you're in a place that's so remote, man? I mean, they send POWs to this place. You wouldn't know the difference between this, North Vietnam, Singapore. I mean, they're all equally beautiful, but having not been in North Vietnam, but I hear it's nice this time of year. So you got to play it that cutesy? I mean, is that paranoid or is that just whatever? So Mr. Kilmer did not want to be bothered, and we didn't bother him. And I try to make sure they're not... Why did I elect myself the cop? I don't know what it was. Oh, is Johnson hurt him? Well, that's why I had to get back to the room and put another Band-Aid on it. Either that or get tied to the flag again. I need a Jeep at my disposal so I can get away from my adoring fans. Yeah, all 10 of us. Jesus, I needed a Jeep. Anyway, the guy's entitled to whatever it is that he wants. And I got to imagine it's not very much of a vacation. So there he goes. He gets into the boat, and he's so fat, the boat sinks down, so the stern end, it starts taking in some water, as if it was Marlon Brando. And he went on back to his little Palafito, and we didn't hear hide nor hair of him again until we split, you know. And about, I'd say, half the hotel left. The day we left on Sunday, we got, and when we came in, it was beautiful. It was just me and Maria in the car, and Polo was the driver. Beautiful guy. Went about 148 miles an hour down a two-lane highway, just, you know, the wheels coming off. And if you go south out of Puerto Vallarta, it kind of winds along the hills and stuff, and then it goes into the valley or wherever the hell it goes, and he was doing 8 million miles an hour. There were only two of us in the Jeep. Well, coming back now, on a Sunday, we had two other couples. We had a couple with the travel agent and a real nice old guy and his wife from Puerto Vallarta. They come in from New York. They spend like 2 months there every year. Great guy. You should have heard this guy's story. He's about 78 years old, had to run from the Nazis when he was 16, went to Denmark. Guess what happened? The Nazis showed up there. So then he goes to Holland. Guess what happened? Nazis are knocking on his door there. Then he goes to Russia. Hey, the Nazis invade Russia. This guy's, you know, 16. I can't get away from these crowds. So finally, where does he go? Japan. Just in time for the A-bomb. I said, Fred, his name was Fred. Fred, I hope it was worth it making it all the way to America. He says, yeah, it's fantastic, other than the skinheads. But they're very nice people, and they lived in Puerto Vallarta. So we went up in a car. It was about 186,000 degrees, but they had some air conditioning, so we're zipping along. But this guy was great because the wife says a lot of things, and he just repeated. You ever seen these elderly couples where she'll say, and so Puerto Vallarta, it's only 2 pesos for a beer. 2 pesos. And then we take the bus. That's only 3 pesos. Only 3 pesos. Take the bus. And then another thing that we did was, it's wonderful. We'll walk and all the shops are gorgeous. All the shops are gorgeous. Great paintings. And so I loved it. With 2 bottles of wine. What was the bottle of wine last night at dinner? The bottle of wine last night must have been $40. $40 bottle of wine. Too much. This is he's just repeating everything that she's saying. They're really nice people. Very, very nice people. But he's talking about, man, I get drunk a lot less than that. I spend $40 a bottle of wine. Hell, I go up to Puerto Vallarta, I get drunk on 2 pesos. At a woman, too. I got $40, 40 pesos, get myself a woman, 2 bottles of wine. Yes, that's right. He can get himself a woman and 40... What did you say? Oh, never mind. So they were great, and then we went all the way up to the thing and got our asses out of there. But it was one hell... And the other thing about it, I can tell you this, no matter how good the food in Mexico, no matter how good, and this food was outstanding, every morning... We had eggs, and we had tortillas, and we had, you know, they would do something very nice. And then at lunch, we had, like, fish, and we had steak, and we had pollo, and we had this terrific ceviche salads and avocados. And, man, they had a little bit of pasta going on just to make the Italians feel, you know, okay. And then at dinner, there was some other great fish, snapper, and shrimp done up 58 million different ways. No menu yet. This is what they served you. Tonight, we are having this, you know, tomorrow night and this morning. Never hungry. The meals were just never stopped. And if you wanted to, you could. One night I was so starved I had 2 dinners. It's like going on a cruise, exactly. But you're not, you know, you can go places. You can walk up and down the beach, go for miles up and down the beach all every which way. So it was great. And then old Fred says to me, and that food was fantastic. The food was great. 1-800-5. Why am I giving the phone number when I don't want to take any phone calls? Well, anyway. Huh? I'm doing an hour-long commercial for this hotel, but why not? I mean, you're only going to get 70 people in there. How many creeps can show up at one time? It's great. I believe me, your money could not be better spent. But boy, at the end of the week, when they start laying out the, here's what you drank, not so much that it cost a lot of money, but I'm looking at the debauchery of the week. You're just looking at what a souse hound you are. Oh, God. And at one point, I said to the guy, you know, Sergio, I'm spending $6 a shot for this Don Julio. Why can't I just buy the bottle? I'll negotiate the price on the bottle. He says, well, what do you mean? I said, look, $6 a shot, I'm drinking 20 shots out of that bottle, let's say, so that's over $100. Can I take the bottle off of you? That's like 100 and a half. I'll take the bottle off your hands for $100. Let me go talk to the boss. The word comes back, no chance. Not a chance, gringo. Keep on sucking up them shots. Anyway, I tried. 1-800-5201-KFI, Orange County, 5201-KFI in L.A. County. Phil Hendry Show on KFI. This is just our travel log here tonight. KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. Yeah, we got a light bill to pay up here, man. Ain't no candles around here. On KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio, Alan LaGreen in the KFI Traffic Center. He said, it looks like buckskin. So, getting back to our discussion here of the, because I love you here. Yeah, no kidding. Because I love, you know what, I don't know what it was. My folks can't. You know who can shop for me? The one person who knows to buy the clothes that I like. Not that I'm a great dresser. But at least it's clothes that I will put on and I like them. My sister-in-law, not my wife, my sister-in-law, Maria's sister Terry, buys great stuff. Sweaters, pants, she knows how to shop for all of the men in the family. Maria goes out and buys me Tommy Hilfiger shirts with the big ass Tommy Hilfiger around the back of it. I love you, baby. As a matter of fact, you know how to shop for me, honey, except for those pullovers, you know. Forget that with the Tommy Hilfiger. I don't want to be walking around with a billboard on me, you know. And even if it said Hotelito Desconocido, which is one of my favorite places on the planet Earth now, I wouldn't wear that. Which, by the way, thanks a lot there, Marcello, for that $80 bikini my wife bought in the shop there. But I digress. No, seriously, he had... You know, as everything's 10 to 1 in the pesos, I'm looking at this bikini. Maria needed another bathing suit, so we went up to get a little itsy-bitsy, tiny little shop you can go in and buy, like, cigarettes and some suntan lotion. And, huh? Yeah, little sundries, but it's just a room. You walk into the room, and you can look around, and there's stuff there. And, like, suntan lotion. She got one of his Charo bikinis. It says $800 on it. I mean, it would turn out it was pesos. It was 800. It was 80 bucks for this bikini. I said, buy it. Whatever, man. I mean, you know, if I can drink a bottle of Don Julio, you're entitled to that freaking bikini. I can tell you that. Then one night at that bar, I can't believe that. I would say the only drawback. Well, it's not even a drawback. If you're going to go to a joint like this, it's very unusual, and it's what they call ecotourism, like I was telling you guys a couple of weeks ago when we made the reservations for this joint. But if you're going to go there, man, yeah, you're going to spend a couple of bucks because the drinks ain't cheap. And that's where you're really laying it out, you know. You're talking $6 for a shot. So what else happened there? I told you I rubbed my rear end raw on that thing, and those horses, man. And I got a guy there. The guy who's leading the horseback riding is, you know, he's like a gaucho, or what do you call him, vaquero? You know, one of these Oh, by the way, we're laying on a beach one day, and I'm kicking, and I'm talking, and it's a great day. And all of a sudden, the Irish guy goes, oh, be Jesus, it's a cattle drive. What are you talking about? I jump up, they're herding cattle down the beach. Yeah, there's Frankie Lane with a rawhide. And I hear these guys going, ha, yeah, yeah, what? I go, what the hell is that? All of a sudden, down the beach are coming cows. Cows and dogs and vaqueros on horseback. And these guys got lassos going and the whole damn thing. So I said to Maria, run by them. I want to get a picture. Pick up your damn towel, Hodo. Yeah, the towels are coming. The cows are coming by. Pick up your... Hey, by the way, Val, you're going to have to get off the beach, too. Sorry, Mr. Kilmer. I'll tell you what, that's true. He's the only guy that the cows went around. Everybody else got stampeded, but Val Kilmer's laying there, all 800 pounds of him, and the cows just went right around old Mr. Kilmer there. If it wasn't for these mix that I ran into, man, I wouldn't have had no fun on this vacation. But anyway, the guy says, oh, my God. Oh, Holy Mary. You got to see this, Phil. It's a damn cattle drive, you know. And here comes the husband, the wife, and the two kids, and they're still yakking about how Val Kilmer's getting yanked on that rope. And here come down the beach a damn cattle drive and all these cows on their way to wherever the hell it is they're going to graze them on a pasture some 2 kilometers down the beach. And these guys were like, yeah, ha, ha. So I said to Maria, run by the cows so I can get some perspective. So she starts jogging down the beach next to the cattle. What the hell? I mean, what, you know, only where? Where are you going to see that? Where are you going to see a woman in a blue bikini that cost $80 jogging by a cattle drive? Only down there in Mexico. So we got some great shots of that. I don't know what the hell else we... Do you take pictures on vacation? Neither do I. We have to remind ourselves to buy one of those cameras, those throwaways, and I got to remind myself to take pictures. I can't do it. Did I get tired of the same damn people every day? Oh, Christ, you again? No, not at all. Because everybody was very cool. After a week, but they were checking in and checking out, so you'd see a couple of new faces every day, you know. And the Italians, then I went into the steam bath. You know something? There's something wrong with Americans. We got a problem. We've got a really serious, and I count myself at the top of the list, we've got a serious problem when it comes to language, and here it is. The problem with America is very simply this. We're paranoid. It isn't that we want people to speak English because it makes... We're paranoid. We think that they're talking about us. Because I'm sitting in the steam room. They had a steam bath, and the Italian couple came in. And I'm sitting there listening to... Buongiorno, mandiana, I go, will you shut up? Because they're yakking this wop talk, and I don't know what they're saying, you know? And I guess part of me was thinking, just shut up. I'm in a steam bath here. I'm trying to leak out a few gallons of tequila so I can go back and start drinking again. And I want to hear it of you guys going, shut up! And I finally realized it's not their problem, it's my problem. We don't like sitting listening to people who don't speak English. It bothers us. It grates on our nerves. Yeah, and I just, at one point, he's going, English! English! I know I'm not in America. I know it's Mexico. I know I have no right to make that demand, but I'm going to make that demand anyway, okay? You want to know why? Because my American Express is just as gold as yours. I tried that we kicked your ass in World War II thing, then I realized we weren't really fighting them, were we? And then I was going to say, if it wasn't for us, you'd be speaking German, but then they had that Mussolini thing, so I don't know what to say to him. Just shut up! Quit charging so much for those bikinis! And it occurred to me, and I said to Marie, because she was sitting next to me, and I whispered in my wife's ear, I said, will you listen to these grease balls go? Tell them this. Exactly. You do that? Yeah. They're just... And I said to Marie, I go, you know, when this guy shut his mouth, she's going, I know what you mean. And I said, you know what? It's our problem as Americans. We don't like anybody talking that ain't speaking our language because we think they're talking about us. So that's the language problem in a nutshell right there, and I'm not kidding you. The problem is we don't want anybody talking anything other than English because we think they're plotting against us. Like, what are they going to do? They're going to blow up the spa after they leave or something? There's some plot that they're hatching. And then you go from the steam bath and you go into the cold. But it's like that sweat lodge, then you go into cold water thing. So you got to leave the sweat lodge and you go into the cold water and you get out and you go back to the damn sweat lodge. I get out of the sweat lodge and I'm going to get into the cold. And there's the Italians are sitting in there. And I'm like, oh, Jesus. And they're like, and you know what the Italians are saying? They're looking at each other and saying the same thing, like, well, you look at these two Americans talking English. Why don't they shut up? These Americans are real dope. They just shut up. Or they might have been saying something like, look at that handsome American over there. Why don't you lose weight the same way he is? You know what, Luigi? That guy's one of the best-looking bald slobs I've ever seen, man. You ought to be looking a little bit more like him. Instead of that buongiorno crap, start speaking some English, okay? And then they suddenly, out of nowhere, the guy jumps up and screams, Italiano! Hey, baby, will you look at these two Italians over there? Italiano! Ah, speak of my language! Ah, you son of a... Pizza face. Right. It was great, you guys. I wouldn't ordinarily give away one of my hiding spots, but as I was leaving, the kid said to me, you going to mention our hotel on the radio? I said, well, no, I don't want a lot of creeps showing up. And they said, oh, it's okay. It can only handle 70 creeps at a time. How bad can it get? I said, okay, so when I go back, I'll talk about it. So I'm talking about it. Hotelito Desconocido. You can find them on the website, although I ain't going to tell you what the web address is right now, because I forget it. And if you can negotiate for the big bottle of tequila as opposed to the $6 a shot, you let me know, all right? Phil Henry Show, KFI Los Angeles. Italiano! More stimulating talk radio.
50,000 watts. KFI Los Angeles. More stimulating talk radio.
Has just added 6 more nonstop flights to Phoenix from LAX. That's in addition to their nonstop service from Ontario, Long Beach, Orange County, and Burbank. So contact your travel agent or call 1-800-2-FLY-AWA.
Haven't filed tax returns for years? Think you can't have a bank account? Think you can't have a life? Think you have to live underground? Think again. Take advantage of a special limited-time program that allows you to avoid going to jail, file all your old back tax returns, even if you don't have any records, pay only part of what you owe, or pay the IRS in affordable monthly installments, or legally don't pay your income taxes at all by declaring bankruptcy. The choice is yours. Run and hide and face jail and other serious consequences, or let the law give you a new chance by forgiving your back income taxes and bankruptcy and get a fresh start. We have helped many people who haven't filed tax returns for years. Let us help you. Call us toll-free at 1-888-TAX-DEAL. That's 1-888-TAX-DEAL. D-E-A-L. The law offices of Moskowitz, Nixdorf, and Barnhart, LLP, with offices in Los Angeles, Orange County, and San Diego. Call us at 1-888-TAX-DEAL.
What to do on a Saab test drive?
Go during rush hour and merge onto a highway. Accelerate down the entrance ramp. Check behind you and get into the next lane before the merge lane ends. Watch for any 18-wheelers coming up beside you. Now, get off at the next exit. When you're safely off, ask what that incredible power you felt was, because it was a lot more than just horsepower.
People who come in to look at a Saab usually buy one.
Lease a 1999 Saab 9.5. 39 monthly payments of $399, totaling $15,554.37. Total amount due at lease inception is $1,248.83. Program expires January 31, 1999. For further details, call 1-800-SAAB-USA. Visit your Southern California Saab dealer and test drive a new Saab today.
Tim and Neil.
If the stereotypes out there aren't what you think they should be, notice how you are making them what they are.
Yeah.
Look at the part you're playing.
I'm telling you, I really don't care if he says that she got gunned down for driving while black. That pisses you off. But
it bothers me because...
But you know people are going
to
think that.
Well, it's even contradictory to what was said by Jesse Jackson. It's like, and they're cheering it at all. They're just cheering it at all. Woo! Just... Whatever you say, well, yeah, get them. And that becomes even worse because it's an us-against-them situation, which is stupid. It should be exactly what Jesse Jackson said, and I can't believe I'm agreeing with him. But it's a right and wrong issue, not a black and white issue.
The Tim and Neil Show.
Tonight at 11 on KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio.
This is bullshit. I don't believe it.
KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. Phil Henry Show. Mr. Rifkin, your job as a security guard at a major studio affords you certainly contact with directors, but...
I don't want to be lectured to, Mr. Henry. I'm not
lecturing you. I'm trying to say it affords you the contact with these guys, but you need to be polite, all right? And dropping a cigar butt into the lap of this big director, burning this man after he didn't want to read your script and he didn't want to hear your pitch.
I told about the bit and the whole thing about the giant bugs. See, that was the whole deal, but he didn't want to hear. He says, I don't know. You know, I says, listen to the giant bug, and then he drives away. So I got reprimanded. That kind of made me angry, but I wasn't trying to hurt him, but I was smoking the cigar, and the cigar butt landed in his lap, and he kept talking to me because apparently he couldn't feel it. And
what do you mean?
Well, it was burning through his pants. And suddenly he gets this look on his face of extreme horror and pain, and it had burned through his slacks, and he's telling me it's my fault? It was an honest mistake, okay?
He may think you're victimizing him. Here's San Bernardino on KFI AM 640. Hello?
I don't think so.
Yeah,
you're talking about some robots come down and stop the clocks and all this.
Right, right.
It's been done, man.
No way, man.
War of the Worlds. The day the Earth stood still.
What about the giant bug what comes out of the saucer?
A giant robot comes out of the saucer.
No.
They shoot people with their laser beams. The army shows up. There's a guy falls in love with a girl. It's been done so long ago. It was black and white.
No, man, I'm talking about giant bugs that come out of the flying saucer.
Bugs, robots, what's the difference? It's been done.
No, the giant robot come out and save the guy. Then the bugs come out. You don't know. You ain't seen no movie with the giant bugs, have you?
Hey, man. Go down to your local video store.
Right.
Rent The Day the Earth Stood Still.
Hey, let me tell you something, man. Bugs equals dollars in science fiction. You gotta have bugs.
No, man, what you gotta have is an original script. That's what you gotta have.
Original. Did you see Aliens?
Yeah, I saw Aliens.
What are you breathing so hard for? What are you, running or are you driving?
I'm upset with you, man.
The bugs eat everyone on Earth, and then the movie ends.
What do you mean the bugs eat everyone on Earth?
That's what I'm talking about. Big. Very big. All right?
Are you talking about aliens?
What?
Are you talking about aliens?
No, man. I'm talking about my script. This is a kick-ass deal. You got asthma?
I don't know what you're talking about.
It sounds like you got asthma. You go like this. What you breathing for? Hello? Hello? What's this guy doing? Getting groceries out of the trunk of his car? Hey, you there?
He might have hung up. Yeah, he hung up. Here is Los Angeles on KFI AM 640. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
So, yes, I've seen The Day the Earth Stood Still, and it was a great movie, and it's got all those things minus
didn't
the bugs.
Have a giant
and the
bug.
The
yeah,
last big
you.
Bug movie, Stormtroopers, failed.
It didn't have a giant bug in it, so that means it's my movie.
Well, the end of the whole thing is, You know, I've been in the music industry before. I'm not anymore, but I found out that all the people that own record companies, they no longer accept unsolicited music because they're afraid of litigation. If your script even resembles, if one of those guys' future script even resembles what you said, you could sue him in the future. Art Buchwald sued Eddie Murphy years ago and won, even though Eddie Murphy claimed, hey, the Golden Child had absolutely nothing to do with that.
What are you talking about, man? I'm talking about the guy in a flying saucer.
Yeah, I understand. The whole deal is you're not even listening to what people say. If that director took your script and later on produced something even remotely similar to your script, you could sue him and possibly win, so he doesn't even want to get sued.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't accept an unsolicited script unless I knew the person I was getting it from was trustworthy.
If the guy tried to steal my stuff, I'd kick his ass, okay? So, I mean,
yeah, there you go. That's very grown up.
Well, I would. I'd kick his butt.
And also, the people who are the most high up in their businesses are generally nice people. And the people who are generally mean and nasty don't get anywhere because they're mean and nasty. So maybe if you could greet people and come up tone a bit, you'd be nice and get some response.
Here's something for you. Clatu Nicto Barato.
What's that from?
My movie.
Okay, so this guy totally sounds like he's a fake, because that's even a quote from the movie,
I worked 10 years
The Day the Earth Stood Still.
I worked 10 years on this script, okay, so go write a song.
I think you're just an actor who's playing some psycho.
Yeah,
because I've already heard this before.
Bite me.
That's it.
KFI Los Angeles, more stimulating talk radio.
Known for irritation.
Has, you know, that's very funny, and that's very unusual, and sounds like, you know, a made-up story or whatever, but I'm telling you, as I told the people who, from the newspaper call me today, that the story's not made up, that happened, and that I did not have a backup paper on this thing.
Now, you did not have it on a computer.
I don't use a computer. I use a manual typewriter. I do keep notes, and I work from the notes. And
well, what are you requesting? You're requesting that you get an adequate grade?
I'm requesting I get an adequate grade on the paper because I had completed the paper, because I had done extensive research on the paper. I had done most of my research at the school library, and that I feel the professor needs to understand the circumstances of my situation, okay? Because you can ask him with the grade that I'm getting in that class right now. Is a solid 4. I mean, I've got A's across the board in that class right now. But I feel it's important for me, for them to understand that and for them to give me an adequate grade.
All right, you're saying that the paper was destroyed by a pet cat urinating on it, correct?
I'm telling you that is what happened, and I realize it sounds, funny or whatever, but it's kind of a freak accident. And I feel that because...
It struck me that is the old excuse about why people don't do their homework, because the dog ate the homework.
I understand that, and I had more than one person come up to me and say that. Like, you know, come up with a better story or something like that. If it wasn't true, I wouldn't say it. Okay, if it wasn't true, I wouldn't say it. And as crazy as it sounds, that's what happened to me. What this professor has said to me... is that he wanted me to, he wanted to see my notes on the paper.
Okay, that sounds like a fairly good compromise, because at least you've got the notes, correct?
Yeah, the problem being, though, we've got something in this country called the Fourth Amendment, which protects people from an unlawful invasion of privacy. And what I consider that to be is that he doesn't have the right to ask me for those notes, that I worked off those notes, and I worked off those notes to create the paper, but he does not have the right to see those notes, okay? They are my property. They're very, very rough. They are, I think, fairly representative of a unique point of view on this particular subject. And so what I have said to him is that I feel it's in my best interest if he gives me an adequate grade on the paper.
Okay, Jeffrey Dowder is with us. He's a student taking an early American history course at UCLA. He prepared a paper for his final in that class, which was on, I think you said, whiskey tax and the early agrarian development?
Yeah, and it's not really important, but that's is a special interest of mine due to the first administration, Washington's administration, who invoked federal powers on whiskey tax, etc. But in any event, I had done the paper... working from the notes, and
all right, let me just pick it up from here. So you prepared this paper,
you have a pet cat that urinated on the paper and destroyed the paper.
Completely destroyed the paper, right. And what happened, it had done overnight. The animal had somehow gotten, it urinated on the paper. I don't know why. I guess
you've heard people say to you, why don't you change the cat box and this doesn't happen?
Well, there's a lot of reasons. There's probably a lot of areas where I'm responsible to some degree. Okay, you're right. I could change the cat box, or I could do a lot of things, keep a cat from urinating on a paper. But the point is that I had done the work, and because I've done the work, and I should not be punished, okay, because I did not have a backup. I should not be punished because I don't necessarily do my work in a conventional way like other students do. I do use a manual typewriter. I do work from handwritten notes. I worked on the paper extensively, doing a lot of research over the course of the term, and I've addressed that to the professor of the class, and I said to him at that time, this is a freak accident. It's something that does not happen a lot. What I'm requesting, because you have any, can I say the professor's name?
I really would rather that you not.
All right, well, I said to him that the grades that I've been getting, they are more than adequate. I'm scoring pretty much a straight A in the class. And I said, at this particular time, I would request a C.
What did he say?
He said he'd not give me the C. He said he would request my notes.
And you don't want to give him the notes?
No, I do not.
And you are claiming a Fourth Amendment right?
I'm claiming, number one, these are very unique notes. I had a unique take on the subject. The notes are very rough. They're very difficult to read. If it's not me that's reading it, they're difficult to work from. And I'm telling the professor that he's going to have to just trust me on this one, okay? I've never lied before. I've done the work. I'm not taking that class. I'm not just sitting in school, beating it or anything, man. I'm there to get...
All right, I understand. You're there to get an education. I understand that. And so the paper is destroyed. You do not want to give the notes over because you claim Fourth Amendment right.
I claim a right in the Constitution against seizure, okay?
Why does the constitutional Fourth Amendment apply to notes that a professor would like to see?
As I said, he does not have the right to make that request, number one. Number two, I do not want to give those notes over because of the unique nature of the notes. Okay?
But you think that the Fourth Amendment protects you from a professor requesting the notes?
Absolutely. And I do not believe that when I invoke a Fourth Amendment privilege, that a professor has the right to give me a bad grade on the exam. So I struck a compromise with him. He said he was going to score me an incomplete in the term. And I said to him, you can give me a C, which is going to bring my GPA down significantly. You don't have to give me an A. You give me a C, but I will not accept an incomplete.
Even though it was your fault, you did not turn the paper in, okay? You say that you had a cat that did its business all over the paper. And of course, as you said, people have said this to you, and I would say this to you. It's your responsibility to maintain your house and maintain your animal so that it doesn't destroy your personal effects.
That may well be, all right? But I'm saying, regardless of the case, the paper was done. And the paper was done well. And the paper was done to the specifications of what it called for in the class. I worked my ass off on this. And I think that for the most part, I deserve a C on the grade. The professor not having the right to ask for the notes because of the unique nature of the notes. And I would like also to say right now that not only my notes are protected under California Shield laws, but my notes are protected under the Constitution. And I would also like to say that I'm addressing the student council about my rights as a student, because I believe students have the rights as well as the teachers. And as far as I'm concerned, this is about rolling back whatever sort of, Stalinist mentality that has stunk up Royce Hall, and let's get a little bit loose on people who are trying to get an education. I sacrificed my GPA to resolve this, and I was rejected by this professor, and I believe that I think that is wrong.
So giving over the notes is a violation of the...
Giving over the notes, I cannot reveal my sources for my notes. My sources are allowed their anonymity. That's journalistic anonymity. Okay?
All right, Mr. Downer, you are, you've got a paper, a term paper that was not turned in. You are requesting a C. You claim the paper was destroyed by a cat, a pet animal urinating on it. You will not turn over the notes to the professor. because you claim that your notes are protected by California Shield Law as well as the constitutional prohibition against search and seizure. And so your back is up against the wall unless you can talk to this professor about this. Now, Mr. Dotter has said he's going to the Student Council of UCLA, and he is going to address them about his, quote, rights as a student, end quote. This is maybe a problem that you're running into at this particular time with a term paper during these final exams. 1-800-5201-KFI in Orange County. I'm not saying any of you guys had a cat urinate on your paper, but I am saying that there are, I guess, gradations is the word of problems that people encounter in getting the work done on time. Should he be given, Jeff Dotter, I guess this hour, should he be given an automatic C for a paper that was not turned in, or should he redo the paper, or should he get an incomplete? 1-800-5201-KFI in Orange County.